If you have a Bible, would you open it to the book of Galatians, chapter 6? I bring you greetings from the King's College in New York City in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's read together. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. This context for this passage today is much more broadly than what I'm going to discuss. I'm going to focus for our purposes this morning solely on verse number 2, that we might bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Just over a year ago, I was waking up one morning, and if you're like me, your iPhone is, or your if you don't have an iPhone, you have one of those other things. And it was naturally within an arm's reach of my pillow, because for those of us that have phones, you know that's its proper place. And I woke up, and the average person, by the way, within 5 seconds of waking up, their phone is in their hand. And like a good American, my phone was in my hand, and I'm scrolling, and I open up an email. And it was an announcement from school. It was one of those panic emails. And it was, the subject heading said something like sad news or tragic news. And I opened it, and I'm lying down, and I'm looking up, and the phone is in my hand, and I open it, and I read that one of our students lost her life. That was a Tuesday morning. And as I'm reading more of the email, I learned that not only did she lose her life, she took her life. And you can imagine at a community that's as close as a Christian community, when one of us does that, it affects everybody. And so I was on the subway and going to school, and I arrived on campus, and it was solemn and heavy and quiet. And when you began to unpack this student's story, the one thing that was true is that she carried some very serious and heavy burdens that no one knew about. She had fantastic grades. She's an honor student. Someone very involved in school activities. Someone who was a model Christian, involved in all sorts of ministries, checking all of the boxes. But even someone like her had incredibly heavy burdens, and no one knew about them. Because sometimes, even in Christian community, you can't be really honest. You can't let people know what's really going on, because we have to maintain the image that the gospel's true, and so I'm fine. When in fact, we're not. And this passage today is an invitation to actually let people know what your burdens are so that they may carry them and fulfill the law of Christ. We don't often do them in Christian community because you might feel shame that people know that we have the issues that we have, or that they might reject us, or that people might even doubt that we're saved. Or what's pretty standard in some Christian communities, I used to teach at a a Christian high school, and if any of you are from a Christian school, you know that the gossip is a real problem. And it's kind of like, you know, the Christian gossip through a prayer request. You know how that works. Two of you know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, we need to pray for Sarah. I'm so concerned about her life because she was drunk and hooked up with her boyfriend and cheated on a test, and we should pray for her. Not gossip, it's a prayer request. Right? Yeah, okay, three of you know what I'm talking about. And so you don't dare be honest because the person might prayer request you. So what do? You keep your burdens hidden. And I want to invite you, my brothers and sisters, to understand that if we try to carry our burdens by ourselves, we actually reject the power of the gospel and the purpose of the church. And I know for a fact, in a room this large, with this many students, based on the data, that there are several of you that are right now drowning. You can barely walk because the burdens are so heavy, and few people, perhaps no one, actually knows about them. Here's some data. I'm a nerd. I like data. College student data. Recent research on college students shows that anxiety and depression among college students ranks at around these numbers. 64% of college students feel overwhelmed by anxiety. And about 41.9% say they've been really plagued by depression. This just posted on Twitter in The Economist magazine about Gen Z in general. That's most of you all, and most certainly the ones who are coming. In a 2018 Pew poll of American teenagers about the problems they face, the data show that they are far less concerned about old age teenage problems like unplanned pregnancy and binge drinking than they are about mental health. Fully 70% of respondents thought anxiety and depression were a major issue among their peers. Teenagers from poor households tended to report a wider range of behavioral problems than those from rich households, but concerns about mental health seem to affect both groups equally. It continues and says this, what is causing such widespread stress and dejection among the young? One answer might be that social media have made teenagers feel more isolated from their friends and tormented by their peers. More than half of those surveyed by Pew cite bullying as a major problem. Another reason might be academic worry, so kids are worried about being bullied and grades. Members of Generation Z, even more so than millennials before them, seem to have less desire to get wasted and more of a desire to make top grades. Two-thirds of respondents from the survey said they feel no pressure at all to get drunk, whereas 9/10 feel under enormous pressure when it comes to doing well at school. So there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of depression, and these are the types of burdens that Christ came to free us from. Through all sorts of means given by Christ through the church to do this. These means of grace to relieve us of these burdens and these anxieties include, of course, the scriptures and the gospel itself and the sacraments and prayer, but also he's given us his people. Your roommate, your teammate, that person sitting next to you or across campus that you're playing video games with, that person. These are the people in a community like this that God has given us to bear each other's burdens. Just look back at this text. Look at verse 2. What does it mean to bear each other's burdens? That Greek word there, bear, is baros, heaviness, weight. It's a burden or trouble. And to bear a burden is to, the Greek word for burden is bastazo, which is to take up with the hands and to carry or to bear upon oneself, to carry upon oneself, to support oneself. It would almost, I need a backpack. Anybody got a backpack? Can I borrow your backpack? What's your name?
Daniel.
Thank you, brother.
Daniel.
Okay. Here's what it means. Here's what it means to bear someone's burdens. That people are walking around with all sorts of weighty things. And the invitation is for you to take their burden and then you carry it. Because when I carry Daniel's burden, he's free. He's burdenless to be the man that God has made him to be. So I am invited to carry his burden. I take up the heavy stuff that my brother carries. I promise I'll give this back. Thank you, Daniel. So to bury your brother or your sister's burden means that you grab their heavy stuff and then you take it on yourself. You carry it for them. You carry it with them. And I know that a lot of you have heavy burdens today that you are carrying alone. Some of you have major doubts about your faith and no one knows about it. You have big questions, huge questions, and you've been afraid to admit it. You've been afraid to let anybody know that you have lots of doubts and big questions about who God is, about what the gospel is. And because you've grown up in the church and maybe you were a youth group leader when you were 12, nobody knew about it. Some of you have massive burdens of the past of being mistreated. The data says in a room this large, it's impossible for there to be people in a room this large that have avoided being mistreated in the past, either through your peers. If you survived middle school, congratulations. But a lot of you have suffered physical abuse from older siblings or your parents or your aunts and uncles. Some of you have been victims of sexual abuse. And these are heavy burdens that you carry right now. So many of you are worried to death about your future. You're worried if you're ever going to get married. You're worried if you're going to get cancer like your mom and your grandmother and your aunt before them. So many of you are suffering from really heavy, painful loneliness. You're surrounded by people, but you actually feel lonely. You don't have a lot of connection. And you've been so busy doing so many great things for God that you don't have any real friends. So many are worried about money and school loan debt and issues back at home because your family is a mess. And the invitation is, in a community like this, is for us to bear each other's burdens. And to do that means that you have to let people know what's going on so that they can fulfill the law of Christ in your life and you in theirs. To the second part of that verse, to fulfill the law of Christ, the commentators have all sorts of fantastic debates about this. If you're a nerd, you can read them. But the law of Christ is distinct in this passage from the law of Moses. It is singled out by Christ as the center of the law. It includes things like this. It includes the ethical teachings of Jesus in general. It includes the example of Christ. All those teachings and commands set forth by Christ, inspired by his disciples, says one commentator. It's the pattern of Jesus' life. It is the law of love. That is to love someone in the same way that Jesus loves you. The same way that Jesus bears your burdens. He bears your sin, does he not? There is no sin too bizarre and too strange, too weird, too freaky that Jesus cannot embrace and forgive. He died for all of those. The grace of Christ is enough to forgive those who murdered Christ. He certainly can forgive you of your sins as well. Jesus bears our anxieties. He says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Bring all of those to him. He bears with people who fail. And by the power of the resurrection, your sin and my sin and your brokenness and my brokenness is healed. And it is covered by the blood of Christ. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, saturated by love, God puts us back together and sends us out to be the people that he wants us to be. Jesus has great empathy and compassion with us. He knows what it's like to suffer harm and to be lonely and to have things that seem uncertain and unclear. He knows what that is like. And so you can come to him with those things. And so to fulfill the law of Christ is an opportunity, is an invitation for us to bring people to Christ through us. As we point people to Jesus because we are carrying their burdens and we take those burdens to Jesus. We take them to him. So the invitation is for us to do these things with each other. One example of this, of course, is in verse 1. That if any of you is caught in any sort of sin and transgression, those who are spiritual should bring them back, should restore them, should care for them with gentleness. In the same way, of course, that Jesus does that with us with great gentleness. He restores us. That we are in right relationship to the Father because of the work and person of Christ, because of the intercessions of Christ on our behalf. James 5:16 reads this, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." So my question today, my brothers and sisters, is simply this: to whom are you confessing your sin? To whom are you confessing and exposing your burdens so that someone else can fulfill the law of Christ? What are you anxious about today? Who's carrying your burdens? Now, this can also be somewhat of a problem because there are a couple of extremes. On the one stream, we have the person for whom they read a passage like this and they take advantage of people. I call them they're like a drama black hole. And there are some people whose lives have been characterized by this. They unfortunately only received love when they were in pain. That's the only time they got attention, was when they were struggling or suffering. And so these people, often are always in the midst of some sort of crisis, because if they don't have a crisis, they don't get attention. So you ask them, how are they doing? Oh, terrible. How's your day going? Oh, it's horrible. These are the kind of people who are constantly texting you to come over and talk to them, because they've always got some big issue. And these are the sorts of people that if you have a problem and you go to them, as soon as you start in to share your burden, they immediately bring in theirs. And within about 10 seconds, it becomes about them. They don't know how to bear people's burdens. They are simply drama black holes. That's one extreme. And the other extreme are those of you who have never had an opportunity to be this sort of honest. You've been Mr. or Miss Perfect Christian. When you were a little kid, you played Jesus or Mary in the Christmas play. And at 5 or 6, you know, you're like, you played Jesus. And so you're already like on track. And then later on, when you were in VBS, you won the Bible trivia contest 7 years in a row. And then you get to high school, and you, by the time you finished high school, you went on 37 short-term missions trips and evangelized everybody at Subway, your employees, customers. 4 customers came to Christ between you putting the sandwich in the oven to warm it and putting the mayonnaise on top. You're a great athlete, your grades are great. And these expectations that you have to be Mr. or Miss Perfect Christian means that you can't be honest. You can't let people know that you struggle, that you have issues, and that you have sin, and no one's carrying your burdens either. You're walking around campus right now struggling, and no one knows. So 2 cautions here, of course, is that you have to do this, of course, with someone you trust, someone that sort of earned the right to carry your burdens. You don't want to be careless with this. You also want to be aware that some burdens may be too heavy for you. And so if someone shares something that's too heavy, too big, the way that you carry their burden is to take them to someone else who can. You take them to someone else who has the training or expertise, the wisdom to deal with issues that you can't. Do not ever, 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 ever feel any pressure ever to handle someone else's issues that are too big for you. You do not have to do that. You can take them to someone else. It's sort of like when these friends they had their one friend who was a leper, and they were taking him to Jesus, and they broke the roof open to lower him down. Maybe carrying someone else's burden means that you take them to someone who can handle it. So maybe, listen, I have no idea what your mission statement is, but most Christian schools have basically the same one. Okay? Jesus is in there somewhere, or Christ. Something about leadership and the world and training and the culture and the mission. Something about that. Right? No idea. But most Christian schools are trying to do the same thing. But maybe Christian schools, maybe Christian colleges should have a different kind of mission. Maybe Cedarville should be known for this, that this is a school that you can come to and people are going to bear your burdens. That the law of Christ will be fulfilled here, that you can come here as a freshman with a dump truck load of burdens, and your brothers and sisters who are sophomores and juniors and seniors are going to pick them up and carry them for you and fulfill the law of Christ, that you will come here and you will not be alone. That you will have people who will pray for you, who will listen to you, who will take you to Jesus, who will take you to get help. That this is a place where you will be loved and cared for and embraced. That this place is a place that when you leave, you'll be radically different. Not because of the classroom, which is great. I'm a professor. I get that. Not because of the administration. I get that. I'm not qualified to be an administrator because, my administrative skills are terrible. My desk is a mess. I can't organize my own desk. I would tear a school up. It'd be terrible. Right. So you have all of these good things, but the best part, perhaps the greatest part of what really happens at a school like this is sitting on your left and your right, in front of you and behind you. That these are the people. Listen, you've got one chance to spend 4 years hanging out to do this. This is it. And what would happen if this was a place that was radically transformed because people were bearing each other's burdens, that the law of Christ was fulfilled right here and right now? I would love it. Wouldn't it be great? And listen, if there are any visiting students, come to King. Don't come here. But wouldn't it be great if their visitors, visiting high school students, come and they walk around campus and they can see and feel that something is different, and they want to come here because this is a place where burdens are carried and the law of Christ is fulfilled. And then you're free. You're free to study. You're free to love. You're free to pray. You're free to imagine the future. You're really free to do all these other things that colleges say you ought to do because you know that you have people on your left and on your right, in front of you, behind you, who are going to carry you through. This is the beauty of the church that Jesus died for. So Cedarville University, may this be the last day, or may this be the last week that you let your burdens be a secret. May this be the last day, the last week in this place, in this community, with these students and these faculty members and all of the student life staff, that may this be the last day, the last week that you walk around carrying these burdens and not allowing the law of Christ to be fulfilled. May this be the very last day. And if you are a freshman, may you spend the next 3 or 4 years or 5 years, or it's 5 and a half, depending on your financial situation. May you spend the next 3 or 4 or 5 years being set free, burdens lifted, so that when you are a senior and this becomes a part of the culture, that this is a school that's known in the state of Ohio as being a place where anxiety and depression almost don't exist. That while it's a problem in higher education across the country, that this place is a place where students are free, really free, because their burdens, their anxieties are being borne and carried by everyone around them. May this be a place where the law of Christ is fulfilled. I so want this for you. My heart is heavy for this at every Christian college I ever speak to, because I know what's going to happen when you get out. It's going to be hard, and you're going to need people. You're going to need your friends. You're going to need the church to walk closely with you. And beginning to do this right now is the beginning of having a life where you are truly free. As it says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." And this happens, my brothers and sisters, when we bear each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. May that be the legacy of your tenure at Cedarville University. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, when you leave today, give somebody a hug. Make an appointment to have a conversation, and let's bear each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for my friends. I thank you for their love of the truth and the gospel. I thank you that you have come and set us free. I pray that you would allow us the courage to be honest and take our mask off and to let us bear each other's burdens so that the law of Christ may be fulfilled. May we have the compassion and patience to listen well and to love well and to pray well. And may this community, Lord, I pray that they would be set free by the freedom that comes through the work and person of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit that enables all of these things to happen. It is by the Spirit's presence and the Spirit's direction and working and moving that we accomplish all things that the Bible actually says. I pray this in Jesus' name and for his grace. Amen. You are dismissed.